Hey everyone, welcome to Culture Time. I'm Hemel Jabari with Brian Minter.
Hello, excited to be here in the lavishly appointed podcasting studio talking about the movie Hardball.
Starring Keanu Reeves.
Starring Keanu Reeves.
As you guys might know, season two is all about Keanu Reeves.
I am very excited to talk about Hardball. Can I tell you why? I think this is a very important episode of the podcast.
Okay.
And here is why. It was your idea to do a podcast series about Keanu Reeves. In fact, I believe the exact words you used were, let's interrogate the American culture through the oeuvre of Keanu Reeves.
I believe those were your words.
It doesn't matter whose words they were. That was the idea. And I must admit, to date, I still don't entirely understand our project here.
Yeah.
I don't entirely understand why looking at the work of Keanu Reeves gives us a window into the soul of modern-day America. But I accept that it is so.
Yes.
However, in our, and I think it's all right for that to be something we grapple towards, both you and I together, as well as with our broad community of listeners. But to date, we have been giving ourselves easy pitches. We talked about Point Break, which everybody in their 30s and 40s has seen. We talked about Speed, which everybody's seen. We talked about My Own Private Idaho, which, while a lesser-known work, has a lot of critical acclaim.
Is very well respected.
Yes. Now we're going to talk about Hardball.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, Hardball is terrible.
Okay. I will say that before we talk about why this is so important, that there was some internal debate about whether or not we should even talk about Hardball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you that I am actually very glad that we are doing this movie.
Same here.
Okay. So tell me why this is so important.
Well, here's what I think. This is why I think we might get at something good here about the Keanu Reeves situation, or rather Keanu Reeves' centrality to the culture. The other movies we watched, either he was specifically cast or the role was written or at least conceived in such a way as it could play to his unique strengths as a performer, actor, and artist. This one is just a generic late 90s, early 2000s sports movie. The lead role could have been played by Dennis Quaid, Edward Norton, Ving Rhames, whoever was doing these kind of roles at that time.
Ving Rhames?
I don't know. You don't like Ving Rhames?
No, I like him fine, but it's just an odd name to throw out there.
Ving Rhames, if you're listening, tweet at us. We'd love to have you on the podcast. But it went to Keanu.
Yes.
So he has to bring his unique sets of skills and talents to this role.
Right.
So I think, so this is a very Keanu movie. He's in every scene. He's the main character. He's basically the only character of note. What does he do? What choices does he make as an artist, as a performer, as an actor that Ving Rhames or Dennis Quaid would not have made?
I want to explore that question in depth, but let's circle on the plot real quick.
Yeah, so for those of you who have not seen the movie, good job. Don't see it.
But I want to interrupt because I'm very conflicted about this film. Brian absolutely hated it. I had actually seen it before, and this was your first time watching
it. Yeah, it was my first time watching it. I was excited to watch it because I love a heartwarming sports movie. It's my second favorite genre of film behind heist movie. But I not only did not enjoy it at the time, in the past 2 days since I've watched it, I've become increasingly angry about it.
All right, well, let's see if you can change my mind. So the plot.
Yeah, what happens in this movie?
In a very succinct way, Keanu Reeves plays a degenerate gambler named Connor O'Neill, and as a... not even a favor. He has a lot of gambling debt.
Yeah, and in bookies order to, are after him all over town.
Bookies are after him. And in order to pay off this gambling debt, a friend tells him that he needs to coach this inner city baseball team. And there, through that process, he's transformed as a person and falls in love with Diane Lane, maybe.
In an extremely perfunctory subplot. One touch I do like about the movie is that he coaches the Little League team because some investment bank has agreed to do this community feel-good work. They don't give a shit about inner-city Little League team,
no.
So they just pay a degenerate gambler to do it for them because he happens to know this banker guy.
Yeah, and to get back to your point, to what you were saying about why this is such an important film for our culture.
Podcast,
yeah, well, for our podcast, but for our overall theme of looking at American culture through films of Keanu Reeves, we've kind of been toying around with that idea, but this actually tells you so much about the time that this movie was made and why it would never get made the same way today.
Nor should it have been made.
No.
It shouldn't have been made this way 17 years ago, and don't make it again this way now. So that was all you had for the plot?
I don't even want to say that he turns the team around.
He never teaches them anything about baseball.
He doesn't teach them anything about baseball. He periodically shows up and pushes them every now and then. Doesn't do any actual coaching from what I saw.
No.
Yeah.
This movie to me fails on a couple different levels. It fails ethically, which we can go back to. But it also fails artistically. I feel like if you're going to make a sports movie.
Right.
And there's a lot of great sports movies out there.
Lots of great sports
movies. Penny Marshall passed away just today. A League of Their Own. Incredible sports movie.
Fantastic.
Hoosiers, my all-time favorite. Cool Runnings, The Cutting Edge, you name it.
We have actually done a podcast, a micro-podcast, about Brian's favorite sports movies.
We did?
Yeah.
I have no memory of that.
Season one.
Weird.
We absolutely talked about Cool Runnings for like 20 minutes.
So if someone says, hey, here's a pile of money, you're greenlit, go make a sports movie, I feel like you have two options. One, you take the workmanlike approach. You say,
yes,
there are a set of conventions, I'm going to hew to them and churn out a good sports movie that hits all the notes you want it to hit. It's got inspiration, it's got grit, it's got perseverance, it's got action scenes, it's got montages. Or two, you do something different that transcends the sports movie genre. This movie does neither. They utterly fail to be a good, as you said, Keanu Reeves, we never see him teaching the kids anything about baseball.
Well, so this
How do they get better? They start terrible and they win the championship. Who taught them how to play baseball?
Okay, so I have thought about this a lot as well, and this is not an actual typical sports movie. I don't want to say it defies genre because that's giving it too much credit, but it doesn't fit in any genre. It is not a sports movie because it doesn't fit those conventions. It's not a rom-com at all, right? Because
no, there's three scenes with Diane Lane.
Right.
They're very perfunctory.
Criminally underused in this because Diane Lane is fantastic and she deserves better material. But one of the reasons that I thought that it was actually, I don't even want to say it's okay because I see all the problems with it like you do. But one of the reasons that it actually did work for me is because it avoided all of those cliches about sports movies.
But it didn't do anything. Like, half the movie is Keanu getting chased by bookies and talking to his degenerate gambler friend. And there's like four different bookies. You lose track of them all. But none of that is in service to anything.
It's in service to establishing that Keanu is not a very good person.
No, but the thing is, so the very first scene of the movie, it's a very economical opening to the movie. You know within 90 seconds who the character is, what his problems are, and what the stakes are. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's like old school Hollywood, put it together and then get into your story work, which I like. But then it just keeps returning to no narrative end to his struggles and his travails and the bookies and the... Meanwhile, the scenes with the kids are just completely tossed off. The kids have this attachment to Keanu that is completely unearned in the film.
Well, see, I don't know if it's unearned because...
Yes, he never does anything to earn their trust or their affection in any way. We are just told that they trust and have affection for him.
They don't like him right away. None of that is established very quickly.
They don't like him right away. They should never like him. There's no reason for them to like him other than the movie, the plot requires them to.
I'm trying to think of the logical progression here.
All right, so he's a sports gambler.
Right.
They established that right away. He's in debt to a couple different bookies. He bets on games. I was like, oh. And then the guy gets him to coach. You have to come coach the baseball team. So I was like, oh, he must have some past. Either he was a ball player or he is a sports gambler because he has this love of sport, this love of baseball. He's going to realize through coaching these children what it was that he actually loved about baseball or loved about sports. None of that is in the movie.
No, yeah. And none of that, it doesn't bother me at all that none of that is in the movie because they avoid all of those cliches about Keanu Reeves' character. He's barely redeemed at the end of it. He starts out as a lout and he maybe grows slightly as a person. There's none of the cliches of sports movies.
Well, there's
a lot. I mean, there are some involving the team, but none with the growth of this character. But I think that's good, actually.
But I think you're giving the movie too much credit. I agree that, yes, like making him, the fact that they made him like a degenerate, the fact that one thing that is potentially interesting but unexplored is instead of like a white, affluent, white savior complex character,
yes,
he is actually, though he is white and across the color line from these kids, he is kind of the same social class. He's,
right.
You know, he's just above poverty, like they
he's
are.
He's just above poverty, but that's by his own doing, right?
Sure.
They established that relatively quickly, that these kids are, it's circumstance that has kept them poor, right? It's systemic racism that's keeping them poor. What is keeping Keanu poor is his own terrible bad habits. That's was very clear in the movie, and something that I think the character realizes too, is that his life is hard because he chooses to make his life hard.
But
it's not hard because of race and class. I think that's kind of underlying in the film, which I appreciated.
Doesn't he come from like humble stock? I can't quite remember.
Well, he comes from humble working class.
Isn't he like a working class kind of Chicago guy?
Yeah, he's a humble working class Chicago kind of guy with a terrible gambling addiction, but he's not poor like these kids are poor living in the projects poor.
But you think that in your viewing of the movie, it avoids cliche. But I think it does the cliche, because at the end, he's like, he's a better person for having known these plucky, gritty, streetwise, trash-talking young urchins. But again, but why? The movie doesn't show us that happening.
I disagree. I think it does. I thought the scenes with the kids and Keanu were actually really good and really charming, and would have liked for them to have been more of those scenes. And that should have been the movie. I totally agree with that.
Because the kids were good.
The kids are great.
Better actors than they needed to be. There's like 11 of them, so you can't tell them all apart. But I can remember at least 5 of them, like their names and their shticks, which is hard to do in that kind of thing.
But the kids were fantastic, and Keanu was actually very good with the kids. But part of the appeal of this film is that he does not have a white savior complex coming into the film, right? He is actually a bad dude.
Yeah, he's not motivated by
desire
to help them.
Right.
It's against his wishes.
It's against his wishes. He wants to help himself. He's redeemed slightly by the end of it. And this is where I think you can take issue with the film, is that it exploits black pain for the growth of a white character, which we see a lot of in a lot of movies.
Boy, does it.
And that is my huge issue with this film, is that it takes all of this black pain and uses it to marginally advance a white person.
Yeah, so we haven't mentioned what is to me the biggest plot point in the movie and the ethical failure of the movie.
And we need to talk about it. If you guys want to watch this movie and you want to be surprised,
spoiler alert for a 17-year-old terrible movie, what happens towards the end?
Towards the end.
Final act.
And we've already wrapped up a lot of the film. Keanu has actually grown as a person. He has come back to the team after leaving them. He's decided that he's actually going to quit gambling. And in the final act, which was wholly unnecessary.
And unearned. Well, say what it is first before I yell about it.
There is a really adorable young kid on the team, G-Baby.
G-Baby. He's the 8-year-old, trash-talking, foul-mouthed little wonder.
And he is plucky as all hell.
He's plucky as could be.
So cute. I mean, the cutest kid in the entire world. And the character dies.
They kill G-Baby.
They killed G-Baby in this horrible drive-by shooting. And it's totally unnecessary. And it doesn't. And it is only in the service of making Keanu look like empathetic, so that he can give like a speech about how much he's grown at the funeral.
So this is where the movie really bothers me.
Yeah.
There's not much about these kids as people, right? There's, I think, 3 scenes, and it paints this like comically grim portrait of life in the Cabrini Green housing projects in Chicago. But the movie doesn't ever show us their perspective, their struggles, their lives. And that would be okay for a mainstream cliched sports melodrama,
right,
which it is for 90% of its runtime. Then they kill an 8-year-old in a violent gang death.
Yes.
You can't kill an 8-year-old in a violent gang death in a movie that's not about the 8-year-old or where he lived or his brother or the circumstances of his life.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't really give a crap about any of that.
Yeah.
But they're just using that for nothing.
For nothing.
When I saw that, when that scene, I was like, oh, that was really dark and inexplicable, but he's not going to be dead. Keanu wakes up and he gets a call and like, oh, they're calling to tell him that G-Baby's in the hospital and he's going to rush over there and G-Baby's going to be like, oh man, I'm hurt so bad, but I'm going to get better. You got to win the championship game for me, G-Baby. But they don't do that. He's dead.
He's dead. And this is a total curveball in the film. In the very, very final act.
The worst of all possible curveballs.
Because they've already established everything that they need to establish about this character.
The movie's over.
And the movie is
basically over. Why did you kill G-Baby right at the end of the movie?
I don't mean to laugh about it because it's so horribly sad. But it's so effective because the character is so cute.
It's not effective. It's totally unearned and exploitive. And then Keanu gets up and gives this... So, as you point out, to date... The Keanu character, Connor Neal, has avoided the cliches of the sports hero, white savior guy.
Right.
But then he gets up at the funeral of this black child, and they're like, you know who we need to hear from? The white guy who coaches a baseball team that none of us have met. He speaks to the church about how G-Baby made him a better person, and instead of throwing hymnals at him or ejecting him from, they applaud.
Yes!
And then the mom comes up and is like, you are the most important person in G-Baby's life, white man who I barely know. Oh, God.
And that is it. Like, that is where the movie totally falls apart.
Totally falls apart.
That final 20 minutes it doesn't need to be in the film at all.
No.
But what it does show is that this movie was made 2001.
Not that long ago.
No, it's not that long ago, but we have shifted so dramatically in that amount of time where I can't imagine this movie coming out now and it not being totally attacked left and right for how it exploits black pain, how it completely disregards actual poverty in favor of... making this white person look sympathetic.
We should attack it from left and right. In fact, if you're out there, mobs on Twitter, go find the producers of Hardball and get after them.
And this is where I circle back to what Keanu Reeves' films tell us about American culture, is because this is very of the moment, and I would hope that we don't see movies like this.
So you mentioned Keanu Reeves, which is ostensibly the subject of our podcast. We have not really talked much about what I feel is a central question here. What does Keanu Reeves do in this movie? What does he bring to this movie? What is the Keanu-ness of his performance in this film?
I think that you're right. They could have cast anybody in this role, and it would have been just as good or bad for you.
Just as bad. Maybe not. Because he's not good in those, like, the character, it's poorly written. His character is poorly written. A lot of the scenes with, like, kind of the bookies, he's overly anxious and emotional for, like, one of the scenes, he smashes his hand through a window, and then he smashes his own head through a plate glass window for no reason.
I think that he was badly cast in this film. I don't think that this is a good Keanu Reeves vehicle. I don't mind him in the movie at all. I think that there are certain scenes, especially with the kids, that he actually does real well. Like, he and the kids have a decent amount of chemistry. I think that he's relatively charming when he's trying to pick up Diane Lane.
Oh, no. He's so not. You don't think that.
There's, like, two scenes where the first scene where he comes in and meets her.
He meets her.
Yeah, and I think he's cute.
But then he asks her out, and she's like, okay, I'll meet you at this shitty bar. She shows up. He's wildly hostile to her for no good reason. And then she says, you know what? I'm going to leave, which is appropriate.
Which is appropriate.
And then he shows up again, and he's like, hey, wing dang ding doodle. And she's like, you're too much, Keanu Reeves. Let's date again. Awful. So hacky.
Of course it's terrible. But I'm talking about, that's not the scene I was talking about. The first one, yes, where she first meets him. But there's a second scene where he comes into the classroom wearing comically bad clothes, right? Like
he's trying to impress her.
He's trying to impress her. If you can call it a suit, it's pants and a jacket with an ill-fitting tie.
That was another dumb scene. So he comes, so the one of the thinly veiled plot devices is he's got to get two of these kids to... get on the team. Their mom won't let him because they haven't read their book. He has to get him to read the book for because he needs 9 players or whatever. So he comes in. He's like, I want to talk to you about the book A Wrinkle in Time. And they're like, okay, that they're going to bring in this classic of children's literature. He doesn't actually say anything about it. He holds it up, and then that's his stuff.
He just says, A Wrinkle in Time is a really good book, which I agree with. I think it's a very good
book. Did he
book.
Not read it?
No, he didn't read it. It doesn't matter. But those were the two scenes. But now you've made me forget my point. Oh,
I'm sorry. All the shouting has gotten to both of us.
Oh, my point is that I don't think he's well cast in this film. I think that this is the rare example of a Keanu Reeves movie that did not need to be a Keanu Reeves movie. And I think he, I don't know why he made it, but it's probably at a time when his stock was really high.
Hmm. So Keanu, we had already had our national Keanu-sance. He was back in the headlines. He was back
and
in Hollywood's good places. And then he made this turd of a movie.
Well, but this is what happens, right? They probably offered him... I bet you this is around the time where he starts making all his romantic comedies as well. Sweet November and all of those things. So
he is the entire budget of this movie. Nothing else. They didn't spend anything on this movie
except
him.
This is a star vehicle for Keanu Reeves, who is, again, on top of everybody's minds because of The Matrix. And he's a box office draw, so that's why he gets this movie.
And I feel like you're right. I feel like he is poorly cast.
He is poorly cast.
I can imagine Edward Norton or Kevin Costner in this role and inhabiting those scenes with a little more presence, a little more subtlety, and he's just doing his line readings. And the line says that the character starts shouting, so Keanu just starts shouting. There's no sense of why did the character have this snap? What is his emotional current? It's just suddenly Keanu is shouting.
It's a poorly written character on top of not being a good fit for him as an actor. I actually, for all the time that Keanu plays dumb, as he does in Bill and Ted's, he plays kind of an idiot here, and I never buy him as like being actually dumb. Like, he always looks too clean cut.
Do you think he plays an idiot here? Is his character dumb?
Yeah, his character
is
dumb.
His character makes bad choices.
No. His character is dumb because he like flutzes around about the book and some of his grammar is off. Like, she has to correct his grammar. So he's meant to be a little... He's meant to be... I don't even want
to
say working class.
Uneducated. Yeah, but yes. I think it's he's uneducated. He's working class.
Yes.
But he's supposed to be street smart. Like, we see him evade these bookies. We see him, like...
He's kind of a street kid. I think he's supposed to be a street kid, but he's uneducated. But I don't buy any of that about him. Like, he's... None of that comes across. The Keanu-ness of it is still that he's too, he's just a little too clean.
His like Keanu-ness is here not working in favor of the movie. It is working against it.
It's working against it. Like, he's too much Keanu in this movie.
Yeah, because I feel like the character is not written well, but I feel like a different, dare we say, better actor could have made those scenes work and not had them ring so hollow.
I agree with that. I didn't totally dislike him in the film, though, because I think that... There are certain scenes, the scenes that matter to me actually did work. The bookie scenes were the ones that didn't work for me at all. And the scenes with the kids and with Diane Lane were actually okay.
See, I think the exact opposite. I feel like there's way too many scenes about like his gambling past because we don't care at all. Those scenes all play like a sort of gangster heist movie. The scenes with Diane Lane, there's no sense that she likes him or that he even likes her. And the scenes with the kids, there's no sense of like why he's interacting with them in the way he is. Like with Diane Lane, why does he like her?
Because she's pretty.
Know her. Is that it?
She's pretty?
She's pretty. But then they go out and he hang out some, like he continues to go after her, but we don't know why. We never see why he does.
It's the same. She says it once though. She says that they have the kids in common. I think he likes the fact that she's good with the kids and she likes the fact that he's good with the kids, even though he's like a gambler that lied to her. And Diane Lane, you should run far, far away from guys like Keanu.
So I don't think that... All right, so let's take the movie in its own terms. I get that, and the movie sells this, and she sells it, that despite outward appearances, she thinks there's something to him because these kids respond to him.
Yes.
But in a better written or better acted movie, he would respond to... He would like her because she's the first person that sees something decent in him, something good, something better than... Like, he's got this friend played by the criminally underutilized...
John Hawks. Yeah.
His friend who... is just from his world, doesn't really appreciate him as an individual. If Diane Lane sees that in him, maybe that's why he likes her. But Keanu does not convey any of that.
To be fair, the relationship avoids grand declarations of love.
Well, there's only three scenes worth of the relationship.
the closest they come to being a couple is that she kisses him on the cheek after they win the championship, right? That is...
Spoiler alert, they win the championship.
Spoiler
alert. How did they do it? No one taught them to play baseball. Again, that's an enormous failure.
No, there's...
All you needed was one montage of them learning to play baseball.
There's a montage, okay? There's plenty of scenes where he tells them not to use the word bitch. He coaches the little kid by teaching him how to do Big Papa with his hands in the air. Wave him like you just don't care.
But he doesn't teach them how to catch and throw and hit. In the beginning, there's the, like, classic old school Bad News Bears, like, and the balls are going through their legs and they're running into each other. They do that, which is the first montage, but they forgot to shoot the second montage where they get better.
Well, you obviously don't know anything about baseball because all they need is good pitching, and they get good pitching. That's all you need in baseball is good pitching.
No, because they're snagging fly balls out of the air by the end, and they're knocking home runs. Who taught them to do all that stuff?
They knew how to do it. They don't need Keanu to teach them actual baseball. They needed, like, a male role model. Which I'm not sure he should qualify as that. Oh, one thing that I appreciate
hold on. I'm gonna keep that thought. So your premise here, which I might buy, is that they didn't need to be taught to play the game of baseball.
No.
They needed to learn how to be a team. They needed someone to have some faith in them.
They needed somebody to believe in them and to show up. I think he says that in his painfully written eulogy. Yeah, they just needed somebody to show up. They did not actually need somebody to help to teach them how to play baseball.
Well, I didn't see that in the movie. I think that sounds great. I would see that movie. I wish it had been in Hardball.
I mean, there's the actual coaching of baseball is not really a plot point at all.
No, it is not at all. So this movie does flirt with, again, it could have been better.
It could have been very good.
The racial divide, because here you got this white guy who is capable of crossing a class line, but they ignore it in favor of whatever movie they actually set out to make.
Yes, and I think culturally that's where we were at that time, where it was enough in 2001 to think that this is a movie that addresses racism.
The black mom and the black pizza counter guy, they checked the box, now they can make a star vehicle.
Yeah, they checked the box of this is us dealing with issues and putting diversity in our films and talking about tough topics because we got Keanu Reeves to star in a movie about inner city black kids. Like,
you're right, yes.
That's where we were in 2001.
This was a racially progressive film. This was a look at America's racial divide because Keanu talks to a bunch of black kids.
Yes.
Speaking of the black kids in the movie, Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
In what is surely one of a terrible role, but what is surely one of his earliest roles.
A terrible role. He plays a little kid who, Jamal, who ends up getting kicked off of the team because another super shitty white coach,
D.B. Sweeney.
Oh, that's that D.B. Sweeney?
Yeah, who was in The Cutting Edge, a far greater sports movie.
D.B. Sweeney complains that he's too old by a couple of months, so he ends
up. Which he appears to be.
Which he appears to be, so he gets kicked off of the team, but then he ends up joining a gang.
One of the kids who's better acted and better drawn is Jamal, and he gets booted off the team. And then for half the movie, I was like, well, what happened to Jamal? He's got to come back. It's a heartwarming sports movie. He never comes back. But instead of addressing that in any kind of sensitive or subtle or interesting way, we get this shot of him wearing, like, super cliched gang. I don't even think gang members in Chicago dress like that. He looks like he's off the cover of an NWA album. And he's like, oh, now I'm in a gang and I got a gun. And that's it. Nobody talks to him. We don't hear from him. This is what happened to that kid.
And he
became a gangbanger.
And I bet that when they were making this movie, they thought that those scenes were providing realism, right? That they thought that this is
They were pleased with themselves for that dumb shot of Jamal in the murder game.
And they were saying, look, we're not afraid to tackle hard topics because this is what life is like for poor black kids that can't play baseball with white coaches. They have to join gangs afterwards.
Yeah, the scenes of where the housing project where the kids live are so... They're so, like, they're obviously trying, this is the gritty, real parts of the movie.
Yeah.
But they're so over the top. They're filmed with, like, this shaky cam. They're, like, horror movie scenes.
And there's one scene where there's literally just a car on fire in the middle
of
there.
They're just chilling next to a flaming car.
All right, we actually still have to talk about Keanu's stuff because
let's talk about Keanu's hair.
Okay,
How do you feel about his hair in this film?
I don't like it. I don't like his hair because it tells me nothing about the character.
Yes, you're right.
I don't like the hair.
Keanu's hair is an important acting tool in his limited arsenal, and it's misused here.
It's very misused here. They could have done a lot more with it, and they just let it be hair. It is not the hair of a street guy. It is not the hair of a guy who loves baseball. I don't know what that looks like.
But yeah, but it is not it. I agree.
It's not it. His hair does nothing for him except just be hair.
It's just the hair Keanu walked on set with. There was no hair design in this movie.
And I think we've already agreed that this is not a good movie for Keanu.
Yes, this is not a good movie for Keanu. So where do you feel this movie falls in the Keanu canon?
Okay, so I've thought a lot about this. And I think that it's obviously towards the tail end of forgettable for the Keanu canon. But because of the sheer volume of work that Keanu Reeves has made in his life, so many of his movies fall into this hardball lump. Like, he has made a lot of these movies that just don't quite work.
The hardball lump, as you
he just made a lot of mediocre films in his career simply because his output is so great. He's made a lot of mediocre movies, and I would say the bulk of his career is films like Hardball.
But we've talked before about the fact that we think Keanu makes surprisingly good choices. Hardball was not one of those choices.
Okay. Right. Hardball was not one of those choices, but he had, think about any artist's output. There are some total stinkers, right? Like some total failures. There is then the bulk of the work that you do, which is just output.
He's kind of like Jeff Bridges. He does so many movies, you remember the great ones.
Yes.
And you don't remember all the forgettable
and
or
then,
terrible
and
ones.
And the last, like, third are the really great ones. And so far, we have hit all of his great movies.
Well,
not all of them, but we
disagree that My Own Private Idaho is a great one, but fair enough.
Oh, my God. Guys, please back me up. But yeah, so I think that the bulk of the stuff, the bulk of his career is probably movies like Hardball.
Middling to mediocre movies like Hardball.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That kind of fill up American multiplexes for people that don't want to think too hard about issues like race, but they want to feel like they saw something gritty.
And has Keanu let America down with the making of Hardball? Or, wait for it, have we let Keanu down by forcing him into this role where his strengths, as limited but powerful as they are completely unregarded and useless? All right, we have discussed in the past that Keanu's three core competencies as an artist are unflappability,
yes,
likability, and hair.
Yes.
In this movie,
he has neither.
He has none of those things.
He has none of those things. He is not a likable character in this film.
He's not particularly likable.
And he doesn't play an
He's kind of unlikable.
He's supposed to be unlikable, but he's very unlikable, but he doesn't play an antihero, right? Because even antiheroes have something that is compelling and charismatic and dark about them.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't even have that.
I don't even really
buy him as a gambler. I don't know how he met all these lowlifes.
And this is what I'm saying, is that the Keanu-ness of him is too strong to disappear into this role.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
So
Keanu cannot inhabit a role which is both an acting strength and an acting liability.
I don't think that Keanu actually plays unlikable characters well.
Yes, I agree.
I don't think that that's his strong suit at all. Because he's supposed to be unlikable and loudish and kind of a jerk here, even in that scene with Diane Lane. That's not his strength.
Yeah, he's supposed to move around and make puppy dog eyes, and we're supposed to like him and project onto him. And we can't do that in this movie because he's got a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he's doing his best. He's not over emoting or chewing his lines.
No,
he's not killing it.
He's doing a really, like, again, it's the scene with the kids where there should have been a lot more of that, because that's where you see, like, real growth within the character. But again, he's supposed to be likable in those scenes, and that's what it works. He's supposed to be unlikable as, a gambler, and it doesn't work at all.
So we feel that this movie is important to the overall project of understanding American culture through Keanu because of its sheer mediocrity and intellectual failures on the questions of race, poverty, and representation in America. Is that our verdict?
That's a tough question. I'm not going to say I enjoyed watching it, but I really thought the kids were so good, and I thought that Keanu was good in those scenes.
The kids deserve to be in a better movie.
Yeah,
sure.
I think I'll stick with that. I will say that the kids deserve to be in a better movie, because that's what I really liked. I love Diane Lane. I think she's awesome.
She also deserved. Diane Lane and the kids should have been in a different movie that was much better.
Yeah, if we had just had the movie about her teaching those kids, I think I would have liked it a lot better. And then Keanu can come in every now and then. That would have been okay. I do not recommend this movie as a movie that you should watch.
You would not recommend that people watch Hardball.
I don't think you can get over the end. I think that the end is so egregious to use the death of a kid as a plot point that you can't get over that hump.
I agree. They should not have killed Judy. No. That is an unforgivable sin. So, in conclusion, we do not recommend that you watch Hardball. And if the producers of Hardball are out there, we recommend you atone for the making of Hardball by making a better version of it, starring Diane Lane, a bunch of kids, and Ving Rhames.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for hanging out with us and listening to us talk about Hardball, a movie that we don't recommend you see, sadly.
What we do recommend you do is leave reviews for the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever fine podcasts are sold. Let the world know how much you love Culture Time with Brian and Hemel so that more people can see it.
Absolutely.